I'm so pleased to see you all here because storage and handling is near and dear to my heart. When I was asked to do this presentation, I started to gather some data and to pull some information together. And one of the things I know that everyone here is really familiar with is the NIP info. You send the questions. And so I thought, I know that I've been answering NIP info for a short period of time, but I see storage and handling questions a lot. And so I asked the person who helps with that, and about 3% of the questions that come in each year are related to storage and handling. Now, those are not all the storage and handling questions that CDC gets, certainly. You know, those aren't necessarily an excursion of a vaccine or anything like that. But oftentimes they run the gamut of, you know, that's why I'm so thrilled that Albert's here, because sometimes they talk about equipment and what equipment do you need and things like that. But today I'd like to focus on the value of vaccine management and maybe take us in a couple of different ways that I don't think that people necessarily always think about. The first thing I like to tell people is that I am a federal government employee and I have no financial interest or conflict with any manufacturers of any vaccines or any other products. In fact, my husband will tell you I have no money. I have a child in college. So if let's step back and I'm trying to set the base for this workshop, and we know that vaccines have to undergo rigorous testing. These are medications that we give to healthy people, so the standard is set pretty high. And when FDA goes to license these vaccines, they're going to look to make sure that the vaccine is safe and the vaccine is efficacious and that it works. And that's what they have to prove. And so that's why in all of the PIs, and these are just some clips of some of the package inserts or the product information of the vaccines that we all use on a daily basis. That's why you'll see storage and handling information in there. And those safety and those efficacy studies, those are based on vaccine that are stored and handled correctly. So that's why that information is in that product information. And we know that vaccines are fragile. And we know that if we want them to work the way that we expect them to and we administer them correctly, we're going to have to store and handle them properly to provide that protection. So we all know that vaccines have great value. And I realize that at this point, I'm preaching to the choir. I know that you all recognize that vaccines have great value. And being public health people, one of the first things that pops to mind is disease prevention. I am preventing disease in someone. It's just a gift to be able to prevent it instead of treat it. My grandfather used to hide from the public health nurse. It just grieves me to say that as a public health nurse, but he used to hide from her because she would come out to the neighborhood and she would tack up a quarantine sign about diphtheria, and then the whole family sort of disappeared, and as a small child, he didn't know where they went, so he thought she took them away. And we don't have to worry about that because of the vaccine. So the first thing that pops into our heads is the disease prevention, but also we also live in a society where fiscal responsibility right now and thinking fiscally is very important. And so we also know that it prevents both direct, it also saves us direct and indirect financial costs related to medical care when it comes to the diseases. We know that vaccines and the vaccine immunization program is one of the most visible public health programs that the public often thinks about when they think about public health. And so this is something that these vaccines and the immunization programs are something that helps instill their trust in the public health system. It's one of the first things that they think about. So it has great value to us that we can then piggyback onto when we talk about obesity or cardiac disease prevention. You know, when they get messages from public health, they think, oh yeah, you know, these are reliable people. They're telling me valuable information. And then of course back to the finances of it, and my husband will also tell you that I am not the finance person in our marriage, obviously. That they both have monetary value, that vaccines have a monetary investment for both public health when we buy this and for providers, when they buy this and put it in their refrigerators, and when patients buy this. And so that's why I like to remember that there are patients' costs associated with this, and I apologize, this slide's a little bit old because it doesn't even reflect the new second dose of meningococcal, but these are 2010 numbers, and you can see where the patient investment in vaccines has grown. 1990, it cost about $70 to immunize a child through adolescence. You know, in 2010, it cost close to $1,500 to immunize a girl. All right, so you can see where that has grown. And so this represents a big investment for families. And then you think about with multiple children, it becomes an even bigger investment. So then when you talk about providers, and it's not just the pediatric vaccines that have value, and that's why I chose to highlight the adult vaccine here, in a very, very small space, so we're talking 10 doses of all the recommended adult vaccines plus one combination vaccine is about $8,000 for a provider. And that's a very, very small spot in that refrigerator. When you're going to talk about pediatric vaccines, you've got to talk about two pots of money. You've got to talk about their pot of money, their private money, and you've got to talk about the public side because, you know, that's an investment for all of us. That's our tax dollars. So 10 doses of all the routinely recommended pediatric vaccines in a provider's refrigerator, public cost is close to $6,000. That's including two combination vaccines because I haven't been away from provider offices that long, but the last few that I was in October, they had at least two combos in there. At least two combos for the kids. So it's about $6,000. And then those same vaccines, private cost is close to $9,000. So again, 20 doses of vaccine, again, a very small area. I mean, this isn't probably not even going to fill up a shoebox. It's about $15,000 between the public investment in it and the private investment in it. So you can see this represents a huge monetary investment for both patients and their families and for providers. So it's difficult often to lose sight of the forest for the trees. And because this is such a small space and a small thing and in a small area, and because medical assistants and people that deal with this on a daily basis, we tend to not think about this. This is stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. So they don't always think about the financial value of what's in that really, really small space. So this is a tool that Michigan, I came from Michigan, and this is a tool that Michigan came up with to show people that they would take out and they would help to show people how much money was in their refrigerator. And they would look at the number of doses and then the cost per dose, and they would add it up. Couple of other things that you have available to you. I want to show you some resources for helping people with this. You have, of course, the CDC website where it shows both public and private cost. And then you have, for VFC vaccine, the packing slips from McKesson. They show the cost of how much of the value is in that shipment of vaccine. In big picture, if you step back even a little bit more, we know that CDC administers the VFC program, which contains about $4 billion worth of vaccine, is about what they buy each year. And then there was a study in pediatrics in 2008 that showed that there were estimates that 14 to 35% of the vaccines delivered in a pediatric office were subject to inappropriate storage temperatures. All right, so let's just take 30%. You know, you take that by $4 billion, that's $12 million a year. That's a pretty big chunk of change. Now we're getting people's attention. All right, so tell them what's in their fridge, and then you tell them about their tax dollars. You know, I often had to remind myself, because I am not the financial person, that oftentimes private practices are a small business. You know, they run on very, very thin margins. So sometimes, you know, the way to get people's attention is to talk about money and talk about the investment that they have in vaccines. And, you know, frequently when I used to go out and talk to private provider offices and I was in a healthcare system, I said, you know, you guys lose enough of this stuff, you're going to not get your raise this year. You know, so, not that there were many raises in Michigan lately, but to point out to them the ramifications of this. So what are the consequences of this? They're, of course, back to, you know, my public health hat. There's no data on the safety or efficacy of compromised vaccines when they're given. I don't know that they work. I don't know that they work. You know, do they do what they're supposed to do? You know, people don't know. I mean, more and more people are looking at this, but you know, we don't always have the data to support to know this. People that are immunized with vaccine that could be compromised, you know, they think they're protected. They may not be protected. They're at risk for contracting and maybe transmitting diseases that we think that they shouldn't be. And then, you know, our immunization rates that we talk about, you know, they may not be what are reflected in those rates because of that. And then one of the things that I don't think that people necessarily consider, and I think is really something that we as public health need to think about, is that if you go to if you vaccinate someone and then you've used compromised vaccine and that vaccine didn't work, and then they come in contact with the disease and they get it, then that perception is going to be that the vaccine failed. When it wasn't the vaccine that failed, we failed the vaccine. You know, and we don't, and then that's going to go right back to their trust in us. So we have vaccine costs. We know that they're expensive to replace what I just outlined that's in a refrigerator. And then for providers, you know, we just talked about vaccine failure and how that's going to reflect back on public health. But in a clinic setting, now they're going to start to wonder about your care and the care that they receive in that clinic. And did I get it? Am I getting the best care? And am I going to think that I can trust you in that information? And there's going to be a loss of trust or confidence in that healthcare, in their healthcare provider, that's going to go past just whether the vaccine worked or not. Now they're going to wonder, if I talk to them about, you know, how to take care of their sick baby, in the back of their head are they thinking, well, they didn't do it right the last time, so is this information that they're giving me now, is that okay? Are they telling me the right stuff now? So this is, you know, this is that rock that can go into a pool that has those ripples out, those really bad ramifications. So usually when people talk about an excursion, a vaccine excursion, or that it's been compromised, or it's been exposed to temperatures out of range or whatever, they immediately think, okay, a loss. They immediately think a power outage or something like that, and they think, oh my gosh, I got to replace what's in that fridge. But that is, you know, and which is, we talked about, you know, $15,000 for a small office or a large pediatric office, the tip of an iceberg there. But that cost is just the tip of the iceberg. And I have to thank Oregon's immunization program and my cohort up here, because they looked at this and they looked at the complete ramifications or the cost of a loss. And they looked at a clinic that had a loss, and 155 patients were vaccinated with subpotent vaccine, which was 898 individual doses. And they determined staff time, contacting and informing patients and parents, rescheduling appointments, replacement cost of vaccine, and not in the fridge, but the replacement cost of giving the vaccine again to those patients, which is something I don't think people necessarily think about. Loss of clinic time, loss of staff time, all of this. And they found that that was about $411 a patient. So much easier to just take care of the stuff. So then, even bigger ramifications is, you better hope this doesn't happen on a slow news day in your town, because it gets out into the media, and this is now going to affect how future patients come to you. So here are some resources that we have available for storage and handling. This is the CDC website for the healthcare provider page. Something that's near and dear to my heart, the Pink Book, which is currently being updated and is almost ready to be out, to be released. And then the new MMWR was published in January, and it has storage and handling, new updated storage and handling information too. So I'd like to thank you all for your attention, and I want to really emphasize on this slide that providers should determine how and why a vaccine was compromised and integrate strategies to prevent future losses and integrate strategies maybe even ahead of that so that they never even have the loss.